Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Hello, After Buzzers. Welcome to the After Buzz TV show for House of Cards Season 4, Chapters 49 and 50. Join us as we discuss the nomination of Frank and Claire Underwood and predictions and much more.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Wow, here we are, chapters 49 and 50. Hello, AfterBuzzers. I'm Shaka Smith. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Shaka Strong.
I'm Michael Klaus. You can follow me on Instagram at TheOnlyMC, on Twitter at Michael Klaus TV. I apologize for my voice this evening. I lost it 2 days ago, had nothing. Pounded a lot of garlic in the past couple days. This is what we have.
Be glad that you're not sitting next to him, just saying. Hey guys, I'm Maria Cavasudo. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Maria Cavasudo and on Snapchat at MGCVSST.
And I am Kevin Ellis. You can find me on Twitter at The Kevin Ellis or on Instagram at KevinEllis25.
Can you smell the garlic?
A little bit. I was actually going to. So the thing is, I know that you pounded garlic, so I was going to ask. I was like, it's here.
Someone said that it works, and I'll be honest,
it does work. It definitely does work, but much to the dismay of your co-host.
Sorry about that, guys.
Oh my god. Well, let's get into it. What a crazy two episodes that we had. I guess the big thing, Claire's mom dies. And so there was so much texture in that scene. What did you guys think about
it? I thought it was the most emotional scene that I've seen in House of Cards to date. I mean, it was very just silent, no music. Very little dialogue, and it was very emotional.
Yeah. Her decision, I mean, to help her out with that and whatnot is just so, I agree with you. It's just very, very emotional. I didn't even, I know that's, legal in some states.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know.
You could tell. I mean, it took a toll on Claire, and that's something that we haven't really seen from Claire is that emotional attachment to her mother. And I feel like it was necessary because we needed some closure ourselves because we were attached to.
And you saw the selflessness of her mother in that as well, of doing one more thing for her daughter.
Yeah,
and which is very sweet.
And I don't know, for the first time for me, I felt like I got the relationship. And it came down to one line. Where she talks about the father and, you know, oh, my daddy never really laughed. You know, with a jokester, she says, well, there were certain things he did with me. And I got the feeling that their relationship was almost built on resentment that the father loved Claire so much and that the mother kind of resented how much he loved his daughter. And, you know, so she was letting Claire know, well, there were certain things that I did have of it. Even though you had everything, there were certain things that were mine, too. What do you guys think about that?
It's twisted. I mean, I don't think any mother should feel like that about her child, but I can understand it because they seem like a very solitary just people, you know, just both Claire and her mother. So, yeah, it was a little twisted for me, but it made sense.
Yeah,
it was. I think you articulated it well. It was just one of those odd things where, you know, you see a person who is clearly living their adult years with just this kind of resentment towards her own daughter, and that's such an unhealthy feeling, and that could very well be what caused her own disease. I mean, it's just that internal negativity that she had built up, and it was just so pent up that it just created this cancer.
But it was kind of nice to see that there was some love, some warmth. She had the baby teeth.
I loved that, just because it's like, even through all this, you know, commotion, all this resentment, all these years that have gone by, it's like, you know, that kind of like unstated love between like a mom, well, or at least a mother to her daughter, is there and was there. And I like that with Tom, she was like humanized a little bit, because we saw her just be, and I don't think it's like necessarily her fault. I feel like it's just the dynamic between her and Claire that doesn't make her feel like superhuman or like accessible, and Tom just like really like brought that out, and I loved that scene. I don't know how you guys felt, but I loved it.
I love the line too, where when Claire's mom is talking with Claire, it says that she was jealous of her belief that she could make the sun rise.
That was great.
Just sit there, and it almost, it is that innocence that you don't see a little bit, but also that belief that Claire has always had about anything is possible.
And maybe she got that from the father. The father loved her so much, he gave her that belief, and the mom felt she never had that from him, you know? But I thought it was really interesting. A nice, warm moment in between there, you know? And I guess it was a little... She almost seems to approve of Tom.
Yeah.
Oh, immediately.
Yeah.
And so it kind
of... Do you guys not approve of Tom? I approve of Tom.
Well, I don't approve of Tom in that situation. I mean, if you're asking if I approve of infidelity,
we'll talk about that later.
But, yeah, we'll get into that.
But yeah,
of course she approves of Tom. Frank is a cold block of ice.
Tom is
a warm, fuzzy slipper.
And I thought it was interesting, and I guess we got to see how far that relationship ends up going.
Because you
see he's making her laugh, and they talk about it, and eventually I guess he's making Claire laugh and more. And so...
Because could you ever see Frank Underwood put on a gypsy headdress and pretend to be a fortune teller? Could you ever see that? That was so hilarious.
Yeah. I liked it.
And, it was good moments of levity for us, too.
Yeah.
And I think you get the sense, and this kind of goes to Claire's speech now. So we kind of move to Claire getting the nomination. When we talk about how well Yates knew her to write that kind of speech, didn't that play a role?
It was definitely just a realization of what he knows about them as a couple and like what their relationship means, how they guide each other, what types of elements keep their relationship going, and like, you know, he was genuine in everything that he said in that speech.
That's what I loved about the speech is that there weren't any lies. It was just the way it was said. Did you feel that?
I mean, he's a writer, so writers, you know, one of their best attributes is that they can read people and they're very eloquent, and that certainly showed in that speech.
Claire and Frank love each other.
Yeah.
They might not be in love with one another, but they have a love for one another that goes, they are family, just as he had written in the speech. They are two people who are going to be in each other's lives till death do them part. And it's, you know, it's a team that we've seen grow and struggle, but they always come out at the other end.
And I love that they let us know that they're going to kind of stay together in the sense where she goes, well, I do love Frank. I just felt uncomfortable saying it in front of you, you know, when she's talking to Yates. So you know that she does love Frank, and that's like where her heart is, but...
Yeah, it's just like what kind of love? I mean, they really it almost seemed really stressed in these two episodes more of a teamwork than
That's the same thing I was going to say. It's not, I don't think it's as much of like a love for Frank, but for a love of like what that union represents
what
for them.
What they are to each other.
And what they mean to each other, what they are to each other. Mm-hmm. And the possibilities that are afforded to them by this union. Yeah. I think that's where the love really stands.
Because Claire almost wavered when she was like, maybe Durant should go ahead and take this nomination. And Frank says, no, I'm gonna pull through. And we saw kind of Frank the thug a little bit. What did you guys think of him and Durant?
Oh, my God. I mean, that scene was brilliant.
Yeah.
We saw somebody who was threatening things that we knew the truth about. And it was just like, you know, he's telling the truth.
Yeah.
But he's doing it in such a fashion that was so cunning and just devilish. I mean, I couldn't believe what he was saying.
Yeah. It's like sadistic in a way, and so torturous. But it's also like, let's say he hadn't broken, you know, what does she do with that information? Like, there's nothing. Like, I personally think that there's nothing she can do with that information.
No,
no.
Well, she could maybe run to Hammersmith if she figures out, you know, who's putting together some dots.
It was like a game of chicken. And, you know, she came at it first, and then he did not back down, and eventually she did. And, I mean, it shows throughout that entire episode, even with the very beginning, when he's getting dressed, and you see him, the cufflinks, and it says, F you.
Oh, yeah.
He had the cufflinks that he's had, and he puts them on, and it kind of is, you know, sets the tone for the whole episode that he just doesn't care.
Yeah,
it was such a weird, because I kept thinking to myself, how is he going to get her to back down? Because she has all kind of this leverage, all the point. And it just turned out to, like, legitimately scare her into thinking he might just kill you. Because
I totally felt that too, especially with the letter opener. I was like...
Because even if he's lying, it still felt, if you're in that moment, in that room, it's really creepy he's doing this. And the president of the United States is, like, making this really creepy joke.
It's creepy, but if I were, like, Durant, I would have been like, is this... It would have been, like, such a weird moment.
Yeah.
Oh.
But it's, I mean, she's seen since Walker, so she knows what he's capable of, even if she doesn't think it's that, she knows what he is capable of and how he has manipulated the situation to get to where he is.
I think she believes him, though. I think part of her believes that he did those things.
Absolutely.
He kind of threatens her, like, right after, once he breaks and whatnot, and he kind of threatens her in a way, so of course she does.
And you see her just kind of, the wheel spinning when she's like, is he serious right now? Yeah. I felt like she believed it.
Like, for anybody who knows poker, it's like Kathy was going in with pocket kings, and Frank is sitting there with, like, seven deuce off suit, but he's got the skill, he's got the ability to bluff. Yeah. He's going to win the hand anyway.
The next that came out were 7-2-2, he's got the whole house.
Exactly.
I mean, I wonder if it's going to continue to go like that, but everything's breaking his way. So he finally gets the nomination. These crazy rules that, you know, have gone back and forth about the delegate math. Like, I'm still unsure how they kind of got us to, they kind of skipped us. So, you know, they skipped some key elements there, but it was a good lead up to it.
They throw in John King and Wolf Blitzer. They make it look official, but you're kind of like, the way that we're seeing this current election go, we're just kind of shaking our heads like, okay, that's not quite how it works out.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. I was like, this is interesting. This is new.
But they did weave some, like, interesting elements or some truthful elements too. Mm-hmm. I thought another big thing was Stamper here. What did you guys think of Doug? Because he's not really Doug anymore.
He just shows so many signs of cracking.
Yeah.
Mm. Where you're like, absolutely. Oh, is he going to falter? I mean, when he's in the room, and you obviously have the open doors to the refrigerator, and you have the alcohol in there, and you look at him, and it's like, wow, he is really being tempted in a lot of ways. And even that scene between him and Seth, when Seth comes in, they almost have their own game of chicken there, and Seth wins.
Yeah.
Seth just puts him in his place.
Where does he get that backbone?
I loved that. I was like, thank God. Just because I think that, like, you know, at some point, somebody's got to stop Doug because he really pushes it.
Yeah.
And it's not going to last. You can't possibly have a whole show, like, where this person doesn't arc in any way. Like, it can't keep going this way. So I'm glad that we saw a little bit of a push, a little bit of resistance.
Yeah, there's a part of him where he feels like he can get away with anything that he wants to. Mm-hmm. And I love the scene where Seth is answering questions from the press. And he sees Doug, goes on over, and Doug is telling him to come out to his hotel room. Like, and Seth's like, why would I do that? Doug thinks that he can make him go up there.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, at this point, I think Seth understands the dynamic here, where it's like, what are you gonna do? You're gonna drag me in front of everybody? Probably not. That's gonna look weird. You're gonna kill me? Probably not. That's gonna look suspicious. So guess what? Ball's in my court.
I know all this stuff. I'm keeping it under wraps. I'm doing what I need to do, so suck it.
And we saw that moment. He goes in the bathroom, and like, that was one of the best shot, just the way the camera shot and everything was shaking, and, you know, it was Doug literally shaking and kind of breaking.
Yeah. Do we see Doug cracking?
Oh, yes. Yeah, he's begun. He's
no, I mean, like, far, like actually cracking.
I don't know if he's going to crack, but I think he might leave the game. And I think that this new love interest might
be that. Is it a love interest?
I think it is.
I think totally.
I think that he kind of wants it, but I don't see that.
And when you say cracking, I think he's cracked. Once you decide to meet with this woman, you've cracked.
We're
just waiting to see what's going to happen because of the crack. Yeah. But he's cracked.
I don't know if he's cracked. I think that he's somebody he doesn't have confidence. I mean, he fell in love with a woman he was pretty much keeping captive.
Yeah.
A prostitute, mind you, who is keeping captive.
Yeah. And that's what I'm wondering is, I mean, saying cracked, I mean, he is cracked, I guess, before with that, but he never officially broke. And so I'm wondering if this will be the end of
Well, he broke when he went back into his bender, when he was drinking heavily, he just totally lost all confidence in himself. That's when he cracked.
And he got himself back up.
I think that that's when we see Doug. If he goes back to alcohol, then we know he's done. Well, but if he's got some kind of motivation pushing him forward, he's still going to be all right.
But what if maybe he doesn't crack because of alcohol? I'm like, that would be really interesting to see if there's another way that we can break down Doug.
Well, at some point, I would think, and this is probably more for predictions, but this woman might find out what's going to happen, and she's probably got to go off too. You know,
so we'll see.
I don't know. It's a tricky relationship that
way. I don't see Frank allowing that. I mean, Doug doesn't have all the control, and I think
allowing
Doug to pursue this woman, and if they kind of find out, which they will. I mean, you can't keep a relationship like that. Obviously, Frank knew about the other one.
And I'm saying, what if she finds out about the moving the list.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Then Doug has to just kill her.
Well, you.
She has, right? Pretty simple.
He has to.
She has more loose ends than the other one.
But speaking of people that might be killed off, Hammerschmidt.
Hammerschmidt.
Hammerschmidt. Yeah, he meets with Dunbar, and yeah, he's already started that ball rolling. So now, does this mean trouble for Hammerschmidt? What do we think about this?
I mean, he's linking Lanigan to Underwood and all of the travel logs. He's got Dunbar in his court now. Who knows how much further she can go along with this investigation? Yeah. He might have to continue to do this on his own, along with the Herald corpse that he's got there.
We've got the chief now, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's got support. He's got resources.
He's LinkedIn.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's LinkedIn.
We'll see how many. We'll see how many connections he's got on his profile.
But I think he's too LinkedIn to get killed. Plus, I mean, two are already dead. So I think if you just keep down this same path, it's almost too predictable.
I don't know. I just don't. I mean, my assumption is if Frank is to, you know, retain the presidency and, you know, keep all outward appearances of everything being fine, Hammerschmidt's got to go.
Well, Frank, what we're kind of seeing here is that Frank is losing in his end game by bringing in Claire and to get the nomination and the presidency again. He's losing all of his lieutenants. He's lost Meacham. He's now lost Kathy Durant, who was one of his loyal political allies within his White House. And now you have Doug, who, as you guys are pointing out, is slipping a little bit. So if he loses Doug, he doesn't really have anybody but Claire.
And Yates.
And that's dangerous.
He's got Yates now.
Yeah,
he's got Yates, but is Yates going to do what's necessary to keep the Underwoods ahead of Conway? Like, go to the next step like all the others have done.
Impeach
a president, kill people. I mean, these are the things that they've been able to get away with. They can't get away with that stuff anymore if they lose all of their allies.
Well, with the way Yates writes, and he's very good at using the truth to go his own way. Mm-hmm. So I think he's got a very interesting way about getting the things he wants. So it might be going far for him. But I don't think it's going to be the same that we see a Doug Stamper, you know.
Yeah, and I even look at Seth and Leanne. I think they're actually, I was very impressed with both of them. And you know, they want to win. They know it, you know, behooves them to win, and it helps their careers to win. So the fact that what they're doing and kind of standing together behind this campaign, I was actually very impressed with in these past two episodes.
Yeah. But we'll see where that goes. Because Leanne has been sort of relegated to... She's not playing such a big role anymore, and I actually love her character, so I'm kind of waiting for her character to have some teeth.
Me too. Yeah. I think we'll see something in the next two episodes.
Well, you've got her relationship with McCallan, who's, you know, heading up the NSA investigation whatnot, which we get into a little bit more. Was that at the end of episode chapter 49? Where he actually wears on top of the... Where Frank goes back to where he met with Petrov in the little corridor. Yeah. Oh, man, brilliant.
Oh,
I love
the
lighting.
That. Oh, that
my
was
God.
So great.
Great shot. They always make it so intimidating to meet the president.
The president is in his quarters.
It's brilliant. But we got to get to Freddy.
Yeah, and yeah, that was the next thing.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, all aspects of Freddy. I saw that came out of nowhere for me, right?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
So what do you guys think? Where is this anger and resentment coming from? Is this indicative of who Frank is as a person?
I think he says it perfectly. He's like, yeah, come over. Like, we're not friends. Because he's like, come over, you cook some ribs for us. And that's where I was like, oh, come on, Frank. Like, seriously, at least you could have been like, come over, you cook some ribs for us, and then we all share it. He didn't even add the sharing part. Yeah. It was like, you come do your service for me, and then you leave. And it's like, that's such a slap in the face. It's like, that is how you see me. So you know what? No, I don't want to be part of this. Mm-hmm. That to me, like, it was weird. But at the same time, as soon as Frank said that, I'm like, that's not going to go well. Yeah. That is not going to go well at all, because he finally has some sort of like freedom, and it's like Frank trying to give him a job there and like make him stay there and blah blah, and I'm like, no, you can't do this to people. And I think Frankie Freddie, there we go. I was like, wait, it sounds like Freddie was one of the few people to actually stand up to Frank without getting killed, know, or knocked off, and actually maybe succeeding. So I thought that was such a cool and powerful scene.
That's because Freddie ain't no snitch.
No, he ain't no snitch, which that was so good.
Yeah.
Loved it.
I mean, we left off, was it season three, I think, is when Freddie and Frank had their falling out. Freddie's past came into the light. And, you know, because of political reasons, Frank couldn't defend Freddie. He had to push him out. And Freddie, since then, you know, he's always felt put down since then by Frank.
Yeah.
It's like that. Mm-hmm. It's not a friendship. And Frank is delusional because he doesn't have friends. He doesn't know what it means to be a friend.
The worst part that angered me, he's like, whoa, 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 what are you talking about? I was like, you can't be that stupid. Like, for Frank. Because he was like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? I'm like, are you kidding? Like, please analyze your situation.
Well, I think he overestimates the power of the White House. Because he thinks, I offered you a job in the White House. That should be the number one thing on your list.
More money.
Oh, my God. I'm working for the President of the United States. It's a big honor, right?
But you know, also what? There's kind of like a race thing that comes into play here too. Mm-hmm, the same kind of issue of like, oh, I'm the white president and you are the African American, help. You know what I mean? And that, mm-hmm, I was like, God, there's so much tension in that. And I feel like I'm so effing glad that Freddie was like, take your fucking apron. Yeah, like, oh, sorry. Well, kind of take your apron, whatever. I actually thought, this is random, but like, I actually thought he had a gun on him for some reason when he turned around.
I was like, wait.
Another shot, but no. I was like, you go, Freddie. You show him, like, you show him.
Yeah, that was a stand-up moment.
Yeah.
Are you surprised that he didn't talk to Hammerschmidt?
No, you know, for some reason, I thought that was going to happen. I don't know. The minute he said, let's go talk where it's private, I was like, he's going to beat the hell out of him. I just knew it.
The second they were in the alley, I'm like, I know what's coming. But
just shows how loyal, well, not loyal, I guess, but how morally...
He had his own ethos, and he followed it. Yeah. And it was almost a juxtaposition with Frank, who doesn't have an ethos at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you see that, and it's just interesting to me, because Freddie really kind of was set up as one of Frank's longtime friends, so you start to really wonder, what friends does Frank have?
Yeah.
And that's got to come back to bite him.
And then, same thing, we lost Meacham, and it's another kind of like ally friend, pretty much, that he had.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's absolutely alone.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's why I think like the relationship with Claire is really in a good, quote unquote, good place, because what else you got?
Yeah.
What else you got?
Yeah, it's him and Claire and Yates. That's it.
So, what did you guys think?
Nice, happy family.
Well, what did you think about that permission? And
yeah.
Boy.
I mean, you just can't approve of it. It's one of the... I don't know. Can anybody approve of that?
What do you mean?
I mean, well,
if you're
I guess,
from the outside looking in.
Both?
here's my thing. I don't approve, obviously, of infidelity at all. But that's not infidelity. It's just not. She has... It's in, like, an open... They're both okay with it.
Hall pass?
No, it's not. It's way more than a hall pass. A hall pass is simply sexual. There's much more sexual stuff going on there. Yeah.
It's a mutual understanding that they've built and trust throughout their entire relationship. Like, they knew the score. They know... Claire knows that Frank has interest in men. Frank understands that Claire has interest in, you know, youthful... interesting, you know, a little bit more dangerous, you know, dangerous men.
Do you think you have a chance, Kev?
I mean, if I was, zip me into the episode and we'll see what happens. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, and he clearly states it. I think Frank rationalized it perfectly. He's like, he can, you know, I can't give you everything. He can give you things that I can't give you. And it's kind of that position where, like, they're in this together, not because of, like I said before, love for each other, because it's like, oh my God, we've been married forever. Like, we're just such a good couple. No, it's because of totally different reasons. So then really, does it matter?
But is it the ultimate love? Because remember, they thought it wouldn't be all right. So, like, Claire was going to let Yates walk away, and Yates walked away because they thought it would be wrong.
Right, but then she could have been like, look, I don't feel comfortable with that, so we're just going to let it go here. But she takes it...
There's two main things that I came out from this, two big questions. One, by doing this, is Frank, again, putting the election over his relationship with Claire? And kind of like putting this as like, oh, yeah, you have this, because now we're back together, we're on the same team, and he still cares about the election the most over any relationship. The second one, there's no way that this lasts. There's no way you can do this for 4 years. And Yates, what is Yates? It's always going to be secret. So there's no point.
So to piggyback on that, no, I don't think it can last forever. Yeah. And I actually think that in Frank's kind of twisted mind, it's leverage.
I don't know. I never. I got the sense that this was the actual most selflessness, the selfless Frank has been.
I mean, it can be, absolutely. Yeah. But I feel like if you really wanted to twist those tables around, you could. You could flip that up.
I think the death, the, you know, almost death, really affected him. And because they let the relationship go because they thought, we can't do this. And he calls Yates back in and says, no. Like, I recognize, I could tell the change in her voice. I recognize that you are good for Claire. And
he brings her back in. Good for Claire means good for him. Yeah. Happy Claire is.
But that's like, why else would he do that?
Happy wife, happy life.
Remember, I don't think it's selfless. I think it's like, it's happy life, happy wife, happy life.
Claire was happy. Remember, she comes back. She's back on Team Frank. She doesn't care.
But she will be 100% more happy. Or happier, sorry, with a Tom Yates lovin'.
But remember, they don't even know. They don't know that Frank knows.
What?
Lovin'.
We're most happier with Tom Yates is lovin'.
Lovin'.
But I feel like they don't know that he even knows about their liaison. So she comes back just happy and has let him go. So I feel like Frank really saw something and he reached out and he wanted to correct it because he knew that was the only thing he could do to make Claire happy at this point. He knows he doesn't have much to offer that's going to make her genuinely happy in that way.
I think that's giving him too much credit. I think that's
I think it's a love story, that's right.
Totally.
So do you
not
see it lasting?
I do. I think Yates is going to be the reason they're able to stay in the White House. I think it'll come down to him. And I think, and even the way Yates doesn't want to say anything bad about Frank if he leaves the trail because it would hurt Claire too much.
Yeah.
You see two men so concerned with her well-being that they're willing to kind of be positive towards each other for it as
so
well.
Now I'm going to ask you, because you have it very set up in this way, which totally does make sense, right? But now it's too good. It's too much love for Claire. It's too much positiveness. Where's it all going to go wrong?
I don't know if it's going to be Frank. I do not believe that it's going to be Frank that ends it. If anybody ends it, it's going to be Claire again.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah,
I just don't. I see her maybe even falling for Frank in a true love sort of way.
Or someone new.
Well, we have another season coming,
Yeah, exactly.
We got one more season, but I don't know if we have enough time to actually build that kind of
We did have some serious world issues in these episodes. So we have Frank versus Iko, and Conway kind of trying to take credit, and Frank also trying to put that aside. What do you guys think about that battle? Because Frank is going hard on Iko right now.
Yeah, and Conway even preventing him a little bit, much to the dissatisfaction of General Brockhart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was disillusioned on all fronts.
Yeah, he is learning the game of politics even more, I think, than what he had hoped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, especially when you threaten to put troops into the battlefield. I mean, Brockhart is just kind of like, are you kidding me? Like, you would even consider something like this? And, you know, if Conway feels like he's got leverage on Frank, he's going to let Frank do whatever if it benefits him. Yeah, I don't know. Frank's got a ton of... He's got more leverage because he's got the presidency. He can go out and, you know, he can go into a total war type aspect, just like Catherine had suggested, but it was... And he's putting troops into the fray.
I'm almost surprised we didn't see more media pressure by Frank of talking, like, when the House wouldn't pass the ability for them to go in the way he wanted, that we didn't see more of like a blame game between the Republicans and the Democrats there. Mm-hmm. You saw behind the scenes of him talking to Conway, but you didn't see the public pressure to try to sway it back.
Yeah, I think that'll be something they have to... There's so much they cover in each episode.
Yeah.
But they're good at bridging things together, too. So hopefully they kind of bring that... Because the Iko thing has been like... For me, it's been a roller coaster. This is a very serious issue, and then sometimes it's kind of really in the background. Other times it kind of pops back up.
So you kind of forget about it too. So you're like, where are we with that?
Yeah. And so it'll be interesting to see how they wrap it up. I'm excited to get to the next two episodes we have. Well, we got to talk a little bit about Remy
because Remy's
taking an extra active role. He thinks he's being somewhat, you know, cool. I mean, why even play the drinking game? Just tell him what he needs to know.
Yeah, I'm like, but you know.
Maybe he thought it was being recorded. But what do you guys think about Remy? Because this is obviously going to continue with him.
I think there was some talk in there about Jackie Sharp. And obviously in the beginning of her getting the delegates, there's got to be something that comes up with them of bringing that public. I mean, that's the card that they have on both Jackie Sharp and Remy, is that relationship. And I was even shocked, you know, I hope this is not leading too far, of course, but talking about Jackie, you know, giving her delegates to Durant and saying, oh, she's going to make that call. And I'm surprised there wasn't more pressure on her there. But I see that coming about. I mean, just looking at Remy, and he wants to make it seem like he has nothing to lose, but he does.
Yeah. So, are we ready for predictions?
Why not? I mean, we're getting into it anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
Predictions.
Yeah.
Well, predictions it is.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
I will say real quick also, though, talking about Hammerschmidt, when he has that meeting with the editor, is that he says, quote, he's not a killer in talking about Frank.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll be surprised, and this kind of leads into our prediction. I don't think he realizes how far it goes.
Oh, yeah. And that to me was, oh, Hammerschmidt's going to die. Yeah, because perfect setup. Oh, well, he's a crook, but he's not a killer.
He's not a killer.
So I'll make that my prediction. Hammerschmidt's going to be gone.
Okay. How soon do you think? Do you think we'd see it this season?
Oh, yeah.
In the next two episodes?
Two episodes.
Yeah, I think we'll...
How do we think that... Okay.
We only got two more. Yeah, how's it going to end?
He'll either die or it'll be impending, but yes.
Okay, that's interesting. I mean, I feel that he doesn't... Unless it's going to be Doug... How's Frank going to take him out?
Oh, I don't think Frank will do it himself, but Frank or someone on his behalf will kill Hammerschmidt.
I know, I'm just thinking like, okay, who would kill Hammerschmidt? I don't know. Doug's definitely, you know, he can do it. He's still the chief of staff of the United States. It just,
and it also depends on how far I'm not sure how much time's going to jump in the next two episodes. And I'm assuming there'll be a significant amount of time for Hammerschmidt to die.
Okay.
But,
Are we all in agreement that the election is not going to happen in the next two episodes, right?
I don't know. Because sometimes they like to wrap things up to some degree.
I feel like it would be weird if all of a sudden it's like election and it's like, let's say, you know, Claire and Frank. Yeah. And that's it? Like, then we go all over this in the next season?
But
I feel like...
So we had the meeting. We had the meeting between... It was McAllen and Frank and Doug, you know, in the bowels of the White House. Talking about...
Love that.
Talking about how it's beyond marriage is the theme of what they've cracked now.
And
it's
that
theme
that
they're going... Yeah, they're going to control the message now. They have power over the Conways finally in their message. And so, who knows? We could see, like, quick scenes fast-forwarding the election time, and we can get to the general election, hopefully.
I think we'll get to the general
election. I would think that
I feel like we'll get to the... Yeah, okay, I thought you meant, like, maybe going all the way through...
I think we'll know who will win the presidency in the two episodes.
I have to think that that's going to be, like, the final shot.
Because it would be,
like, clear.
I don't think so.
I feel like we're going to go through all the, like, once you have the... maybe not.
We got debates to deal with.
There's
a lot left in the whole general. Yeah. I mean, they literally just decided who's
going to
run.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think we're going to see everything else that comes after once you decide a candidate.
Because they got to the VP nom pretty quickly in that whole process. And I'm just
impeachment was quick.
I'm thinking to myself, they're so good at being on point with time-wise that by the time the next season would come by, we'd already would have gone through an election, right? And so
yes.
I feel like that would make, just from a writing standpoint, it might make that stale. Maybe they want to try to wrap it up. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd
love to see the election, though. It would kill me if I have to wait till next year to figure it out.
I actually feel opposite. I'm like, I want to wait till next year to figure it out. Because then I feel like it's a little bit more pace. I want to see more drama. I want to see more, like, yeah.
We really haven't had that. We've always had a lot of closure at the end of every season.
Yeah.
We've known exactly where everything stood. Like, everything that happened in that season, it was resolved by the end. It's like, okay,
well they do it in a way that you're so excited for next season.
Oh,
yeah.
You're
like, I cannot wait to see where this is going to go. Yeah,
totally.
Of course.
This is random, but like in terms of predictions, I think Frank's liver is going to give out. I don't think that's going to last because he's already kind of like on a... You know, you can't really travel that much. And sometimes livers get rejected. You know, sometimes when you have an organ transplant, your stuff gets rejected. So I think that's not going to work out super well for him.
That would be the way for Claire and Yates to be together.
Oh, well, I was going to say something else, but that's a good one, too.
they are together.
Then Hammerschmidt gets killed, dies, whatever. Frank needs a new liver. Who do we go to? Hammerschmidt. There you go.
Hammerschmidt.
Gold liver.
Wow.
I like it.
Yes. And then the other thing is that I think because... I know. When I was listening to you talk about him dying, I was just like, the liver. Yeah. That's how we connected.
Not the healthiest liver, but all right.
No, but hey, you know, it's just whatever's available, you know, and then you can just keep swapping them out, you know, every couple months. No, I'm kidding. But then I also think that, like, this whole liver thing... there's a reason they set it up. So again, I think Frank's liver is not going to totally function the full way. We're going to have something kind of happen. Maybe that's at the end. Maybe that's at the end. We have him like dying. But that's how Doug will come into play.
So
because
excited for it too. She wants Frank to die almost.
No kidding. but then also like that's how Doug's going to get, that's how we're going to intertwine like the story of Doug and that new lady with Frank.
Yeah.
Because of the liver failure. I feel like, yeah. So that's just my big prediction.
Okay. Okay. I see. I see Doug faltering, not completely breaking, but I see him faltering, and I see a continued rise of Seth, and just of Seth. I think he is in that position. I do not think that we'll get to the general election. I just see, because where we are now is roughly about June. So that would be 5 months to cover, and 4 to 5 months to cover in about 2 episodes. And I think it's too much because I don't think the investigation with Hammerschmidt that he's looking into, they'll be investigating that more than about 3 months.
What other cliffhanger can we leave on, though? Wait, other than some big death.
Frank without a liver. Not death, but on the brink.
Let's assume somebody dies. Somebody has to die in the next like two episodes.
Somebody's got to die.
I see it ending with Frank and Claire winning the White House, Hammerschmidt dying, but him having gotten everything he knows to someone who's important enough to.
Well, we have six other people on his team.
Yeah, to make it count.
I like that. And that would be amazing because that is going
to
unravel.
Yeah, impeachment's going to be on the horizon.
On the deck.
They've won, but we know it's about to really fall down.
I would love that because then it would prove that everything they've tried to build up with their little image and their little, like, oh, I love Frank and I love this and, like, whatever is total bullshit. I would love that. That is a good one. I vote for that.
It's not far off. I think that we have to have some kind of resolution this election by the end.
Death.
Yeah. It feels like it's going to fast forward, but as I pointed out,
better,
like, the
so
impeachment
angry.
Went really quick. The vice presidency rise went really quick towards the end of each season. Yeah. I did not expect those things to be resolved, happened.
I thought this was going to end with Claire getting the VP nom. So,
I don't think that's big. I think it's big, but I think we've got more bigness to explore.
And what did you guys think about that? I know we're doing predictions, but the country's just really fine with Underwood and Underwood, huh? no one's really said nepotism. What's going on?
Yeah. Oh man.
But I guess it was chosen by the party.
We haven't heard anything about the gas prices. It's just mostly foreign affairs.
I mean, it's also
this
because I think just everybody really liked Claire, and I think having the mother and just everything makes her seem so likable.
I think it's publicity.
It is. It's totally PR.
It's all in the moment. I mean, public opinion can sway.
It's just
like
one little thing. It's just weird because we have Clinton and Bush, and I feel like Republicans and Democrats at one point were just like too much of the same families, even though it's one I like. But so now we got the same on one ticket, and no one's really saying much. So I wonder if they'll give any media blowback in the next couple episodes. But
I don't see Frank dying until next season, and that will bring. I see him dying next season.
I didn't see Frank dying.
I don't think he's dying.
I see him dying next season, and Claire taking over.
I think he's going to be. Last week I said that I think he's going to be impeached and that he's going to be in jail and that Claire gets to wrangle whether or not or she gets to decide whether or not she brings him back from his possible murder charges, which I don't know if you can really do that, even if you're, the president.
He's going to kill your man.
Your husband who committed murder.
I see Frank as a guy who will commit suicide before he goes down.
But see, I was thinking about that because it was the one thing.
So I see him dead before the end of next season.
But it was the one thing that he had the disrespect for his own father for taking his own life. He had so much disrespect.
Maybe that's how you come full circle,
Well, and again, yes, that's something that I've weighed is whether or not, would he actually get to that breaking point?
Well, I'll put it this way. If Frank dies, it will be the last season. Or he'll have several cameos each episode as like a flashback to a ghost. But I don't think I don't see him getting rid of Kevin Spacey on that show and it continuing.
I
think we're at least in for at least six seasons. Isn't it two renewed more? For 4, 5, and 6? I think six.
Well, it'll be interesting, guys. We'll see what happens. After Buzzers, we're so glad you were able to join us for House of Cards 49 and 50. Please download us on iTunes, give us 5 stars, give us your comments on Twitter and YouTube. I'm Shaka Smith. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Shaka Strong.
You can find me on Instagram at The Only MC, on Twitter at Michael Klaus TV. Hit me up.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Maria Cavasudo and on Snapchat at MGCVSST. I have a very funny cat, and I'm teaching her how to use a leash. So if you want to check that out,
it is pretty adorable.
It's interesting.
It's a work in progress. It's and I am Kevin Ellis. You can find me on Twitter at @TheKevinEllis or on Instagram at @KevinEllis25.
I don't see anything about a season six character.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, well,
I'm just throwing it out there.
We'll see what happens. We'll see you guys next week, Wednesday, 8 p.m.
The finale.
Adios.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.